there for the Nana.
Oh, I see. Now, okay. You went, if I remember correctly, to Banff, was it?
The Wheelers lent us their cottage in Banff, mm-hmm. at Middle Springs.
Mm-hmm.
It was a two-story house, very nice indeed, simply lovely. We carried the water by buckets. There was no water laid on, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I found the floors were difficult to keep clean because there's lots of fine sand there.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a lovely 2 weeks in Banff on the way to Winnipeg.
I see. You didn't come back to Saanich.
We went to Winnipeg.
I see. It's from Esquimalt.
Yes. Yes.
To
we
Banff,
got midnight boat to Banff.
I see.
Went to Banff and then went to Winnipeg.
I see.
And we, the Cahoons lent us their flat, their quarter in the barracks until our flat was ready. They were just redecorating it down on River Avenue.
Shorty Cahoon?
Shorty Cahoon, that's right.
Ah,
yes.
Well.
Very nice. So we lived up in the barracks for a while until the flat was ready. For a few days.
I can't help but think that this must have made that it certainly was a tremendous change for you.
Oh, yes, tremendous change.
And I was wondering if you could tell me anything, shall we say...
Well, army life is rather nice. You belong to a family, rather,
mm-hmm.
in the army.
Mm-hmm.
It was really... Colonel Willets was the... OC of the Patricias at that time,
mm-hmm.
Dick Willets.
Mm-hmm.
And Jean Willets was very nice. She's been secretary to the Lieutenant Governor, Johnny Plough, I think it was, in Halifax.
Mm-hmm.
Jean Willets.
Mm-hmm.
There were several sisters.
Mm-hmm.
There were professors' daughters from Dalhousie. McMecken.
Mm-hmm.
McMecken. Mm-hmm. Polly Dobbs.
How large would your flat be? Could you be...
To
the extent that you can remember.
It was in the Cornwall Apartments. There were two big blocks in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in the left side one on the first floor overlooking the river. It was very pretty. Trees.
Mm-hmm.
I expected it to be quite flat like a billiard table.
Mm-hmm.
But the river made it very attractive. And we were across from the Parliament buildings almost. On, I think it's River Avenue, Fort Rouge, they called it.
How far away would you be? Would his honor be from?
Oh, up Academy Road, long way. He used to have his horse brought down and ride up every morning, even when it was below zero. They'd go by back lanes up to the barracks. It was very nice. Yes, he used to come to the back door. But the flat was rather nice, a nice entrance hall. Mrs. Herbert Wilson was across the passage from us.
Mm-hmm.
There was one long passage to the drawing room, and on the left was the bathroom, and on the right was his dressing room, and the further on was our bedroom, drawing room, and the dining room. It was sort of split,
mm-hmm.
the dining room to the left and the drawing room on the right,
mm-hmm.
and then the little maid's room off the kitchen, a little room. We had a very nice old lady, old Bessie Coulter, to look after us for a while. Latterly, she was with Madame Gautier, who was one of the old-timers for a long time. And Bessie was just a... You know how beautifully they can bring tea in from the... She wore a little cap, just like a little quail, you know? And she had the most beautiful manners, Bessie Coulter. One evening, I was worried about her having a cold, and I thought a hot drink of rum would be good.
Mm-hmm.
So I told her to have a hot bath, and I put the hot rum in her room. But there was somebody in the bed. Apparently it was her husband who'd come, through the kitchen door in. He was no good, Coulter.
Mm-hmm.
He was an inventor. And poor Bessie, everyone said what a rotter he was and so forth. But he'd apparently taken shelter from the below zero weather outside and come to sleep in her room, you see. But it was very funny leaving the rum there, and I realized there was somebody in the bed, and it was cold.
Well,
all covered up to the...
Well, well.
You know.
What about the... I'm looking here not at this 1 year, but thinking in terms of he was as a housewife perhaps at this time. What did you consider to be your favorite family dishes? In two senses, what were you best at cooking insofar as any one particular meals? And what?
Roasts. I like doing roasts and vegetables. Of course, I'd had experience cooking at home, you see, with my mother, who didn't know anything about cooking when she came out to the ranch. She'd never been in the kitchen, but she learnt from Mrs. Wheeler quite a lot, and Mrs. Wilgris in Calgary. He was the bank manager in Calgary, and Mother used to stay with them when she went in. They lived over the bank. But Dana Wilgris is a nephew, I think, Dana Wilgris. But they were great friends of my mother's. And Mrs. Hull, old Mrs. Hull, was Mrs. Pownell's sister, Nora Pownell, you know. She was one of the Bannisters. So there's Mrs. John Turner, who's a Bannister, Ida. And Mrs. Charlie Brown was another sister. There were a great many of them. But W.R. Hull was very famous in Calgary. He lived opposite the Ranchman's Club.
That's Calgary. Where your husband had stayed, if I remember correctly, for a while.
Yes.
And was he a roast man, too?
Oh, yes. He likes... cooking never bothered me very much. I wouldn't know quite... my favorite is, I think, steak and kidney pudding, probably. With a suet crust, you know?
It seems to me that he mentioned one time, something with lemon in it, pudding?
Yes, yes. Either hot or cold, with a cakey top.
Ah.
Lemon or orange. Yes. And we were very fond of it. I had a little maid in Edna, came to Calgary with us from Ottawa. Edna O'Reilly. She was with us for 7 years, I think. But she used to make these lemon puddings. They're very nice with a cakey top. And then there's the sort of curd at the bottom, you know. And it's nice hot or cold. But we had enamel top tables, and she used to put the lemon down, and now I find it's marked with lemons all over.
Oh.
It's eaten through the enamel. Isn't that funny? White enamel top tables. The acid is eaten through.
What
just
about
the shape of a lemon, you see, the half a lemon. Isn't that funny?
Yes. What about formal occasions? Would there be a fair number of a number of times during the year when you would be called upon or would be expected to entertain formally? I'm thinking here with respect to...
Yes, we always had the Christmas party. Mrs. Ketchin, I went with Mrs. Ketchin to a great many things. She was a little absent-minded, and,
she would be...
I was asked to pour tea quite often, and... Yes, please do. It was... we belonged to the 200 Club of Dancing Club at the Royal Alexander Hotel. And
you call it the 200 Club?
It was a 200 of about, a small club. We used to go and dance about once a week.
That
sort of thing. It was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
We had a number of military things. We'd have don't touch it, Binky. No. No, Bink. No,
I think you were just...
No, Bink.
Probably just sniff it.
Good dog.
Did you have any help or any difficulty?
In the mess, we would entertain people from town in the mess. No, we had a batman. I remember one batman didn't know a thing about cooking, but he did the belts and the boots and buttons, and if I wanted to have any cooking done, he could do the vegetables. I remember the carrots boiled dry, and he picked it off the stove and put it on the floor, or fell on the floor, and marked the floor with this hot thing, no, I didn't like the batman to do the cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Or, perhaps sometimes I get him to do the vegetables, put them on, and to get ahead with it if I were busy or something. But it wasn't successful. Batmen are not good cooks at all.
Well, now, this would mean, I'm just trying to think of your home establishment at this time, that you would have...
Well, in a
really
flat for two people,
servants.
It was quite easy.
But, I mean,
oh, no, no.
Well, you would have the Batman.
Oh, well, I didn't have Bessie till later.
Oh, I see.
I didn't have anyone at first.
I see.
And then we had a little girl, we had a baby, and we had Bessie at that time. Yes.
Oh, I see. That would be...
1928,
about yes,
that was.
Pep,
was it? Pep.
P-E-P.
Priscilla Edith. P-E-P, Pep. We called her Pep. Mm-hmm. Well, she got an infection at the Misericordia Hospital, and, it was strep infection. And in those days, they didn't have penicillin. And she came out in a boil on the side, a sort of thing, like the size of a golf ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I took her down to the medical arts building, mm-hmm. and they aspirated it. Mm-hmm. And then she got one on the foot. There was poison going through her system. You see. I don't know how it happened, but they think that she picked up a germ in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And that really, we lost her when she was 7 years old. As a result, apparently adhesions around the spleen and the liver. You know, it's very sad.
I saw a picture of her actually at Miss Perk's place.
Oh, yes. Yes.
How did you get along with his family?
Oh, they were very much against his getting engaged. I don't know why. I think the old lady was against either any of them marrying. And as soon as they saw he was serious, they told me all sorts of things about him that went through, you know, to try to upset me. But they didn't succeed. And the old lady, I don't know, she was, very strict and very severe. She didn't have the milk of human kindness at all. Not a drop.
Do you think because of her own marriage breaking up?
I think she was very jealous. I think it was jealousy. Yes, I don't know. But she was, and she never changed.
Yes, that's right.
Well, when she stayed here, she would never say thank you. She would never appreciate anything, ever. It's 40 years. And it was just dreadful.
Good God.
And the sister is not truthful. You know, she's real. Well.
I can stop.
It's very sad. And it was just dreadful.
Good God.
And the sister is not truthful. You know, she's real. Well.
I can stop.
It's very sad. But I can't help it. It's perfectly true. They have never done a kind thing to him, and he has always turned the other cheek. He's been wonderful to them. Mind you, I think he should have been more severe. I couldn't say anything. I think he should have, you know, stepped on it. But they abused him whenever we were there.
Although there are two things that I was trying to... he mentioned something of this to me.
Yes.
Saying how...
Well, that doesn't have to come out.
You know, but, no.
It was appalling.
I was trying to figure out the reason for it. The only thing I could think of would be...
it would have been anybody. Just
is that right?
Oh, I think so. Oh, yes. Oh, I'm sure of it. But I have never said anything about them or against them or done anything against them. We've sent them nice things. We've done everything we could. And they have been absolutely terrible. Right up to the bitter end. Right up to the bitter end. Well, now she makes much of her brother. She said the most awful things about him. Really did, you know. But now she's all over him, you know, sort of thing. But that's fine. It's just as well. But why? They were bitterly jealous. Oh, I've never seen any. Nobody would believe it.
What a shame.
Nobody would believe it, you know. It is a pity. But he has been absolutely wonderful, and he's never been unkind to them or thoughtless, or he's done things. He sent them checks, he never gets them. Thank you. You know? And then this other brother, who is a bachelor, is the apple of their eye, and he's never done anything for anybody.
This is Ted.
Yes. He's in a bad state now. He's been burnt badly.
I heard that
he's in the hospital. He's a nice enough chap. Mm-hmm. I like him. Mm-hmm. But he's absolutely self-centered.
Now, I've...
He wouldn't bother about anyone. He only won't bother about anybody, really. Very self-centered.
How did the two brothers get along? Because
He had the same opportunities, and I don't know. I think he's found him very difficult. Nothing in common, you know.
That's what I wondered, because in the 24 interviews I've had with him, any time the brother came up, I would inquire about the brother, and there seemed to be little...
He's been in the States for 30, 40 years now, since he's been married. He writes quite nicely.
Mm.
Hasn't got too much, I don't think. But he's... he's marvelous. He's pure gold, you know? But that's, I think it's because he's had such an unhappy home that he's so nice.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I agree
with that. So, you know, it's probably all for good. He's really been through the fire, I can tell you.
I would imagine then that when you would come home from Winnipeg or elsewhere, periodically, shall we say, for the summer or for vacation.
You know, I had to drink neat whiskey before I met them.
Oh.
You know? Can you imagine?
Oof.
They were dreadful. And they were so jealous. Mr. Matson was a great friend of theirs. And he was a great friend of ours.
Mm-hmm.
And he was awfully good to me. He really was.
Mm-hmm.
They resented that so much, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, they were most extraordinary, but nobody... nobody would know
that they really,
they were friends of ours. We were sorry for them. My mother did so much for Hilda, making her clothes, making them things.
Mm.
I don't think she got any thanks at all, you know. And they were very unkind to my mother and my father, too. But they persisted and got onto a good footing eventually, but... Mother would tell me all the things she'd say about me, and it's dreadful, you know. My stepfather the same. In fact, my stepmother doesn't see them because she hated the way they talked about both of us. The things that they'd say about George. Now, Hilda's all over him. And, oh, I can't believe that people could be like that, you know.
How do you get along with her now, or do you see much?
She comes in, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But she's mostly all over him. We get on quite well.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't trust her at all. I really can't. She's very double-paced. I can't tell you. It's so insincere.
Mm-hmm.
Too bad. That it won't be...
I remember I was out interviewing her for about half hour, 45 minutes.
Well, how did she strike you? Didn't you think she had a potato in her mouth? And
was
she enthusiastic about him?
Yes.
Yes.
Mind you, I just talked about their early life in England.
Yes.
And I didn't even get up to your marriage.
No.
Anything of that nature. Half hour, 45 minutes,
yes.
Very more, trying to get a better idea of his home life.
Well, his home life was mostly at school.
Mm-hmm.
He was just... You know, no real bond at all, none. I don't think she really had any maternal instinct in her at all. I'm sorry for Hilda to have been in that atmosphere, because it's really embittered her, I think.
That's right, and looking after mother all the time.
Oh, yes. But mind you, a lot of girls look after their mothers. You take Evelyn Gwynn, Hilda Butterfield living out there, the McDougals, there are hundreds of them who looked after their mothers.
Mm.
But she was a very difficult old lady. Very difficult. She couldn't say a nice thing about anybody, to tell you the truth. She wasn't a happy soul, not a bit. Well, who could be under those circumstances, you know?
Yeah.
But George and I have always been popular, and I think that's been anathema to them, you know.
She mentioned to me that her mother Mind you, I was looking for letters or diaries or anything mm-hmm. I could get on him or about him. And I gather from Hilda that, I don't know, possibly her mother would be in her 70s or 80s or I don't know what.
She was 98 when she died last year.
Mm-hmm. But certainly she evidently burnt, just looked everything
burnt. Yes, I know she did. Just out of sight. She really did. And I don't think he's never given him anything that I know of. They never gave us a wedding present.
Oh, no.
No, she spoke of a carpet, you know, that's it. But you know, she'd have tremendous ideas. She wanted to be like Queen Mary when we were married and all that sort of thing, you know. Extraordinary. But,
did you ever meet the other Mrs. Burks? His daughter's father.
Amy.
I'm not sure of her name, actually.
Yes, Amy, Finley. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, she was kind to him, and I don't blame him. She's just rabid. Mm-hmm. She was ready to, you know. And when his father died, we were living in that house that belonged to my father on Fort Street, 1529 Fort Street. And when he said my father died, he told her on the telephone, you were stationed here at that time. And she said, it's just as well, just like that. Cold as anything. And he was old Charlie. Must have been.
Had you not met him?
Yes. No, I didn't know. But only by letter. When Pep arrived, he was so kind. He sent us lovely things. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't have been nicer. And he went out to see George when he was so badly wounded. And mm-hmm. was really interested, you know. Mm-hmm.
But you
no, I never met.
You were
no, he died.
I see.
Mm-hmm. He died about 1928. We came to Victoria for a year. 29 must have been when he died. And then we went to Kingston. Mm-hmm. We were in Kingston for 4 years. But she's cold and cruel. I don't think I've ever met anyone, except in a book, that could be quite as absolutely callous. No.
Well, let's go back to Winnipeg. Now, you were there for how many years?
We were in Winnipeg for 5.
I'm sorry. You've been in Winnipeg from
1925 to 1928. And then we came to Victoria. Pep was born in March. And we moved here in May when the McNaughtons were here.
Ah, yes.
And then we were here just a year. We stayed with my people in the Esquimalt, and then we took that Fort Street house. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we went to Kingston, about 1930.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go back and
as soon as we arrived at Kingston, the Prince of Wales had that dinner for the VCs.
Oh, yes.
We'd hardly unpacked when we went. It took us a week to go by boat and a week to come back, and we had 2 weeks there. It was a month.
Ah, yes, I remember.
And Pep was with us. She was about 16 months. 18 months old.
I'd like to go back to Winnipeg for a little bit, just to see, make sure that we haven't missed anything here. Is there anything that you can remember about these days, for example, that would be worthwhile mentioning? You mentioned that your husband would take the horse to the
barracks. Ride up every morning.
Did you have a car at this time or not?
Yes, we had a Durant.
A Durant?
A Durant. Remember the Durant?
I remember.
It was a two-seater. Uh-huh. A coupe, little, uh-huh. you know, closed in something.
Uh-huh.
And we went, I remember we had a trip up to Dauphin. Mm-hmm. And it rained at about 4 o'clock in the morning when we were at Dauphin. The gumbo is dreadful up there. It rained at about 4 o'clock in the morning when we were at Dauphin. The gumbo is dreadful up there. Mm. And at 6 o'clock we left because it had been raining hard. And it was a mud road, you know. We got to Oka River, but we had to go very fast to stay. We were sliding off the camp, the crown of the road, you know. We had to go, but we made it. But when we were at Dauphin, the game warden gave us a lovely black bearskin. And we were going to come back through those mountains near Dauphin, but the weather was too bad, so we came back the other way by Oka River.
Are there any incidents you might remember about him during the Winnipeg days?
He used to ride out towards the... there was a tall chimney there. What do they call it? Was a clay brickyard or something, was it? But the riding was lovely. I used to ride an old horse called Diamond, and he had his horse. I think it was Bernice. And we'd ride out for miles. You could ride, jumping ditches, and nice little scrub, a few beautiful riding, springy turf, and you could go for miles. Now, of course, it's built up and fenced. But the gunners in those days had their horse teams and used to do these musical rides, you know? And their beautiful old uniforms. And then the corner of Portage and Main, they used to have a service in the very cold weather, and it was very slippery and bitterly cold. The Strathconas used to come out and perform there on special occasions, you know, when they had turned out the troops. And the chief of police was Chris. He came up to live at Mill Bay. What was his name? I've forgotten. Chris. Somebody. Very nice chap.
Who were your...
General Ketchin was the general, though, and Colonel Godson Godson was the AQMG.
What did you think of Ketchin yourself?
He liked ceremonies. He loved ceremonials. And he was... I think he modeled himself on General Kitchener quite a bit. He looked a little like him. The three Ks, the King and Kitchener and Ketchin.
Who were your... what do you call them? Your best friend.
Oh, well, Stanley Long and Mrs. Long, he was manager of the Royal Trust. And he was sort of a relation of my father's. And they were very kind. They had no family, but they lived in the Hugo apartments. And she was very kind to me. She took me under her wing, really, I would say. We lived down in this apartment in Fort Rouge, and she lived in the Hugo, which is on Wellington Crescent. And then the Leckies, Stanley Leckie, he was... with the Hudson's Bay at that time. And I think the head of the Hudson's Bay was a man named Seal, or Sail or Seal in those days. And the Leckies were great friends of ours. They lost their boy with spinal meningitis the time that that Pep was so ill. And was sort of a meningitis germ, I think, that strep.
I wonder if it...
I always wonder whether she came and bathed Pep when he came back from the hospital. I sometimes wonder whether there could be any connection, you know. Buzzy, her son, was taken ill, and the doctors didn't know, and his spine was affected, of course. They wanted to get another opinion, and the doctor wouldn't, and they lost him. It was really sad. But then just before we were moving, Pep was very ill. And she got erysipelas. She had this wound that had to be dressed, and then the erysipelas came as a sort of, it's a St. Andrew's fire, it's a creeping thing, it's horrible. She had it on her body, never her face or her hands, but she had to be at the isolation hospital under bandages of Epsom salts in a thing, you know. And, it was very difficult. So when we came out here, she was almost a skeleton. It eventually went out of her feet, so to speak, out of her body. But left her just... I took her to Dr. Ridewood, and he said, it was just a case of starvation. Of course, I'd been nursing her, but it was very difficult.
That's a lot of nursing.
But, dear, that was an awful nightmare. Yes, but that's when all the trouble started, you see, that... affected the spleen, but it's just, they're so tiny, and they didn't have any Any sulfur drugs or any penicillin?
No, that's right.
Or
no? That's right. I imagine this too would have curbed what might normally have been a wider social life.
Oh, yes, yes. But they were very nice at that hospital. We had Ozzie Day, the doctor. He's dead now. Mm. And he was so kind. He's like Dr. Sinclair here. And Spurge Campbell was our doctor. Mm. He used to come in and say, oh, I've never seen a mother and a baby look so wonderful as we were. Mm. And then she developed this, you see. I didn't have a special nurse, and that was a great mistake. He said it wasn't necessary, you know. And I think they had circumcision at that time in the hospital, and she may have got another blanket from another baby or something, you know, and got it through the navel or something like that. I don't really know. We never do know. But it was just where all the infection was in the hospital, I guess. Up in Berryfield House. And he weighed 13 pounds.
Oh, my.
But Pep weighed 10. She was a wonderful baby. Beautiful.
Well, now, here maybe a bit of an odd question, and I'm groping in the dark, I must admit. But again, I'm thinking of you, shall we say, coming from Saanich in your former...
Oh, yes, I know.
You may call it civilian life.
Yes, yes. Army life. Oh, yeah.
Now, in the first years of your marriage, were there anything, any of the duties, protocol, army connections or what have you, that struck you as either odd or amusing at the time? Again,
oh, yes. Well, the wives, some wives are frightfully aware of protocol and seniority and all that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But I always left that to the husbands. But it was the Dixons. He was medical officer there, Charlie Dixon. And his wife were very kind. They were awfully nice people. Mm. And we had a very jolly time. No, I don't think we ever had difficulty. He was a lieutenant colonel at that time when we were married. And he was G1 to General Ketching. Mm. And we used to travel a good deal. He'd go to Port Arthur, Fort William. Mm-hmm. I'd go with him as a rule on any trips that, that I could, you know. And the Morris Turners, he was the paymaster then.
Oh, was he?
He lives here, you know. Mrs. Turner, she might tell you the things. Because she was in a wheelchair then. She'd had a tumor removed from her brain. Mm-hmm. And she couldn't walk in those days. But Morris Turner would go quite often with us. And he always posted a letter to her at the railway station or something, you know. Because those days we used the train. Uh-huh. Nowadays it would be flying.
You never got into any mix-up or difficulty or what have you over this business of protocol when you were...
No, never. No, never had any trouble.
And let's see, you were there from 25 to 28 and 28, was it?
25 to 28, and then we moved to Victoria.
To Victoria.
And from there we went to Kingston. And we were there for 4 years. John was born there in 31.
Now the period that you're here in Victoria, I must say, is of
it was just a
you, even though just I mean, there was a short time.
Yes.
I think what I'd like to actually is, if I may, interview you again and take you on, shall we say, from Victoria.
Certainly.
Let's see, from about 29 to 39, something of that nature.
Yes. Fine.
Lovely. Well, I'll pop it off now.
Yes.
We'll have a nice
yes.
Level to start again.
Yes.
Good.